are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go. Today we're going to continue in our study on the rapture of the church. You know, there are so many in the world trying to convince you today that Jesus is not coming again. And as I said in some of our earlier broadcasts, this is part of a diabolical plan to get your eyes or your expectation off of the return of Christ. As the Bible says, unto those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, beloved, when we search the scripture, Jesus over and over again commands us to watch, to be sober-minded, to have expectation that he was coming again. But yet in these last days, we see more and more, even in the church, trying to convince you that the return of the Lord is either going to be symbolic, spiritual, or it's just not going to happen at all. There are even those in high prominent states who carry high titles that claim that Jesus can't come again. There have been those who have written books and say that Jesus is not allowed to come again because the heavens is lowered, but the earth he has given unto the children of men. So therefore, Jesus can't come back. He's made us kings and priests unto God. So if he came back, we wouldn't be kings and priests. Beloved, that is a bunch of nonsense. I never heard such foolishness in my life. And there's so many people grasping to this because they want to, because it's appealing to the God within them. They want to become a God unto themselves. Well, beloved, that was the same thing that got Adam kicked out of the garden. But we are admonished to look for the Savior, that Jesus is coming again. The Bible says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Yes, beloved, Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. Now, our job here at Global Restoration Ministries is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of the Lord. And that means sometimes we have to come against false doctrine that has been propagated throughout the world. And listen, even in our own neighborhoods and some of our own churches, many of the men have defected from the faith and given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We're here to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We are set for the defense of the gospel. So come on and join us in today's lesson as we continue in our study on the rapture of the church. Come on, let's go. Today we're going to pick up our study in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. This is an exciting portion of scripture, and it deals with us being gathered together with the Lord. It also deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and revealing of the Antichrist and his rise to power. Come on, let's go into this verse of scripture as we do a verse-by-verse study on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, verse 7 and 8 describe something here. It says, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about there was a great deception that was going out during the time of Paul. Paul was very concerned and very upset, and he wrote to the church of Thessalonica because someone had sent forth a letter saying that the second coming had already occurred. You know, beloved, that's not too much different from what we're hearing today. There's some people such as the amillennialists that say that the second coming or the return of Christ began at his resurrection, and that he's ruling now in the heavens as an invisible spirit. That's the same doctrine that the Jehovah's Witnesses preach. They say that Jesus returned back in 1914 as an invisible spirit, and that they're the evidence thereof. And what they want to do is, in effect, is remove your hope or your expectation of Jesus ever coming again. Like I said in my introduction, it's a diabolical plot to keep your eyes away from the return of Christ. Because Satan has a plan for the body of Christ that is left behind. The Bible says power was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And see, he is sent to wear out the saints. And so we need to say, listen, the only ones that can be wore out, the only ones that he's going to be able to overcome are the ones that are left behind. And the ones that are left behind are those who had not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And we're going to get into that today. Let's go over to the book of Matthew, and we want to see the church as being the restraining force here in the planet. And I want to set this up so you'll understand where we're going with this, is that the church is the restraining force that's present in the earth today that is retarding the advancement of evil. And beloved, we can see evil rising on every hand. But the man of sin, the Antichrist, cannot come forth until the church is taken out of the way. And we're going to discover that as we get into this message. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Salt and light. Salt is used as a preservative that keeps meat from spoiling. And also light pushes back darkness. When the church is taken out of the world, there will be no more restraining force, and sin will run rampant upon the planet, and it will rapidly decay, and darkness will grow over the face of the planet. Let's go on and look at our in our study. Another truth concerning the pre-tribulation rapture that needs to be considered has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus departed to heaven, he said in St. John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. For the Holy Spirit that indwells the believers becomes our conscience for sin. It will convict us of sin. Not condemn us, but it will convict us of sin. It also is the restraining force in our life that keeps the believer from willfully running after sin. Now the Bible said, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then we do not commit sin. What do you mean we do not commit sin, Pastor? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, that actually words mean we do not willfully practice sin. We are not practitioners of sin if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, all have missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. But those who are willfully practitioners of sin have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and the believer that is light and salt has the indwelling power to retard sin here in the planet. So this Holy Spirit takes up residence within the temple or within this body. The Bible said we have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory might be of God. Every child of God is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 11, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you." So the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. Now when the believer is taken out of the world, when we're raptured out, when we're caught up to be with the Lord, then the light and the salt will disappear from the face of the earth, which will be no restraining force and allow sin to take over the planet. Come on, let's go on. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor never shall be again." Does the Bible teach such an evacuation of believers? Is there really a great escape before the tribulation begins? Definitely. The second epistle to the Thessalonians proves this fact. In the first century, some post-tribulationists were already sowing seeds of deceit. They said that the church was already undergoing the trials of the tribulation period. Paul settles this mess by stating in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathered togethering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, what I want to do, beloved, is listen, we want to go back and we want to examine 2 Thessalonians, and we want to start at verse 1. Now, Paul here is making a declaration concerning the information that has been circulating about the church, saying that we're already in the tribulation hour. Beloved, that could be no farther from the truth, because certain things have to take place before the tribulation hour can even begin. So Paul sets up two premises. Number one, he said, "I beseech you," which means to beg you. "I beseech you, brethren," by the first premise, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second is, by our gathering together unto him. Now, I want you to fix these two premises in your mind, because this is where Paul begins his statement. And everything that Paul has to say underneath this has to deal with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together unto him. Number two, it says, verse 2, he said, "That you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, the word "at hand" means imminent. It doesn't mean immediate, but it means that it could happen at any moment. He said, "The day of Christ is imminent," or "it is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," the day of Christ, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, that word "falling away" comes from a Greek word, and it means apostolutse, and a lot of people say that means false doctrine. But when you further investigate it, it means a gathering away, it means a separation, it means a taking out from. So I need you to go into your Strong's Concordance, if you will, and I want you to look that up when you get an opportunity. And you'll see, if you'll investigate it and follow that to the farthest conclusion, you'll see what it means. It means a gathering away, or a separating, or being separated from. So I want you to take a look at that, because it's very important that we understand that what is going on with the church is that the church is being gathered together unto the Lord. So it says, by these two premises, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed." Now, so far he hasn't talked about apostasy. No doubt apostasy will take place in these last days, and we see it taking place on a daily basis. But we have to stick to the scripture and the contents of the scripture and what it's talking about. The first two premises was by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathered together unto him. This is what he's basing the rest of it on. And he said that day, he said, "Let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, there's not something to note in the scripture is that there's only two characters in the Bible who's ever been called the son of perdition. And that's Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and this Antichrist. This Antichrist is also called the son of destruction, or the son of perdition, the son of the devil. In St. John chapter 17, verse 12, he speaks about this concerning Judas. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, getting back to the Antichrist, and it speaks about his nature and his character. Verse 4 says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Listen, beloved, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple in Jerusalem midway through the tribulation period. He's going to do similar to what Antiochus of Epiphanes did when he went in and he killed the priests and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. Well, this Antichrist will go in and desecrate the temple, and Jesus refers to it as the abomination of desolation. And he's going to go in and set himself up and command himself to be worshipped as God. Verse 5 says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Well, how do you know? Well, Paul says in verse 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So I want you to understand what's holding him back. Us being gathered together unto the Lord. He says, now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. It means to hold back. It means to detain. That word withholdeth means to hold back. It means to detain. It means to retain. Is that which hinders the Antichrist from making his appearance. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and remember that word letteth comes from the old English word hinders. So actually it said, only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he, the hinderer, is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Well, who is the hinderer that is hindering the Antichrist from coming on the scene? It is the Holy Spirit that's dwelling, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believers. It's the church presence here on the earth, and this is why the church is under such of an attack today, because the enemy knows that his time is near and that he is about to make his debut. So there's been a huge attack on the body of Christ and on the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The devil is angry with you, and he wants to destroy you. He has but one mission, that's to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Why? Because every time the devil sees you, beloved, he sees God. Because you are created in the image and the likeness of God. So anything of God's creation that he can pervert or distort, he's going to do everything possible to get you into a position to where you will turn against your very salvation, your very soteria, and you'll go after him, and you'll be left behind to go through the tribulation hour. Now, during that time, there's going to be many eyes that will become wide open to the fact that they have been deceived. But at that point, beloved, the door will have already been shut, and the body of Christ will have already gone back to be with the Lord, and the tribulation, the time of torment and judgment, will have begun on this planet. Let's continue. Verse 9. Even him whose coming after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And why did they perish? It says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And like I say, beloved, that word saved, when you look it up in the Strong's, is the word sozo. And it means to keep safe and sound. It means to rescue from danger or destruction, one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or to rescue. Because they had no faith in the rapture, because they did not believe that Jesus was coming again, because they received not the love of the truth, whereby they might be saved or rescued from that danger, they found themselves left behind. And the Bible says something interesting in verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they might be all damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Peter says, in the last days there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation until now. But the Bible said, for this cause they are willingly ignorant. It's going to be people saying, beloved, you be talking about Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Where's the promise of his coming? We don't believe in that rapture stuff. That's fairy tales. That's junk. That's escapism mentality. No, beloved, it's the blessed hope. It's what Jesus has allowed to happen for the saints, for the body of Christ, for we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. Don't lose your hope. This is the hope of our salvation. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why are you beloved? Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and listen now, and belief of the truth. Listen, beloved, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. There are those that will come against you for your faith. They will try to convince you that the rapture is not going to take place, that you're crazy, you're old, antiquated, you're outdated, you're old wineskins, you're blocking spirit. They'll call you a number of things and just to try to get you off of your faith. They'll try to shame you for what you believe. Beloved, no one will steal my crown. There's not one that will steal my faith in God. If it takes faith for me to get out of here, if it takes faith for me to be with the Lord, I'll let nobody steal my ticket of faith. And isn't it funny that they want to come against you about the very promise and the very hope that God has laid up for you and try to convince you that it's not going to happen? Well, beloved, I'm ready to stand on the mountaintop. I'm ready to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet in Zion, to prepare the body of Christ for the Lord is soon to return with just the voice of one crying in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Don't you miss this blessed event that is about to take place. Don't you be among those talking about, I know where they went because you got left behind. Be among those who are caught up and out to be with the Lord and to come back with him in power and great glory. Wherefore, when he called you by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, beloved, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us everlasting consolation of good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Listen, beloved, we are to be comforted in this message, the message of the rapture. We got to understand that there are troubling times that are coming ahead. Paul was deeply, deeply, deeply disturbed about the letters that had gone forth. And essentially, if I could paraphrase what Paul was even thinking, he said, I understand someone produced a letter supposedly written by me, stating that the church has presently experienced the pain of the tribulation hour. Don't believe that lying tale. Don't be bothered. Don't be bewildered. Don't be shaken. Don't let distortion of facts. He said, I could not and would not write such a letter simply because the tribulation cannot begin until two things first occur. The first, there must be a falling away. And the second, the man of sin has to be revealed. Scholars in the past rendered the word falling away as a catching away. And they talked about a time when the law of gravity would be broken and men would fall away via the rapture to meet the Lord in the clouds. Other scholars believe that the Greek word apostatens means that an apostatized departure from the faith will occur. The important point to consider is that either must happen before the man of sin, the lawless one, the beast of the 70th week, is revealed. This introduction of the Antichrist to the world will inaugurate the tribulation hour. This means that the day of the Lord or the tribulation period cannot begin until this monstrous maniac is identified to the earth's citizens, and he cannot be revealed until the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is removed. Only he who now lets or hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. This does not mean that the Holy Spirit must be removed from the earth. It's impossible. Why is it impossible? Because he's God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 11 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Where shall we flee from the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So the only thing that's going to be removed at the time of the rapture is the restraining force, the salt and the light. The restraining force of the Holy Spirit that retards sin from advancing. Why? Because the Antichrist time has finally come. When we look over in the book of Revelation, those seals, when the seals are broken, and when we see when the seals are broken, and the first seal, we see a rider on a white horse coming forth. And one of the beasts said, "Come and see." And behold, a rider on a white horse. But if you look at the true rendition of that word, if you got a Scofield Bible, and you go into your Scofield Bible, and you look that up, the words "and see" is not even in the scripture. So what is it? It's a command. The word "come." It's a time set, a designated time set, for the Antichrist to come forth. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So there is a time that he has. If he didn't have a time set, beloved, he'd be running roughshod over the earth right now. But there is a set time, and he cannot just come on his own. He has to come when the Lord deems necessary. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. "And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him have a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Beloved, this is the Antichrist making his scene upon earth. When he comes in under the disguise of diplomacy. He'll be a world ruler, a world leader, probably the president of the EU, the European Union. And he'll be one with such flair and such magnetism. He'll be a John F. Kennedy, a Bill Clinton. He'll have the charisma of all of these men combined, and he'll draw the world unto him as being this charismatic world leader. And he'll be a man with a plan. But in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to show his true colors and reveal himself as Antichrist. And the Bible says that he's going to forge a covenant with many for 7 years, with Israel and all of the nations in the Middle East. And they call it the covenant of death. And in the middle of the 7 year period, 3.5 years into it, he's going to break the covenant, desecrate it. And it's at that point that he goes into the temple and sets himself up as God and commands all to worship him.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.